Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, 1798Part2.org, Republic Review, and we are aligned with quite a few different other organizations, the Constitution Club being one. I'm looking forward to telling you the rest of them. I've just got to reach out and make sure that they're all okay with getting the free advertisement. You know, you never count your chickens until the eggs have hatched. So anyway, you are listening, as you probably know, most of you know. I know this audience is really growing, and in doing that, I have to kind of repeat this. You are listening to the only show that actually has the tangible solution in getting the federal government back into compliance. If you're tired of watching what's going on in Mordor on the Potomac, or what some people call the District of Columbia, then you need to understand what Republic Review is, the concept of auditing this thing called the Constitution, because it is a contract. It is a contract written for and by the states. And so understanding that, and this is the show you're going to learn about that. There are other organizations that will help teach you. And like I said, these organizations are out supporting this. So if you want to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem, this is the show. Now, I have a very special interview that is going to be coming up in just a couple of minutes. I've got Bill Dahlin, who is a former candidate who ran for governor in Wyoming. If you want to go back, the podcasts are on reclaimingtherepublic.org. I highly recommend you actually go and listen to the interviews that I gave to each of the four candidates that are running for governor still. At least one of them is, and the three had ended up losing in the primary. Bill Dahlin was one that lost in the primary. I asked them all about the Constitution, and none of them were really very familiar with Republic Review and the concept. And in this conversation I'm going to play for you, you will hear both Bill Dahlin's his opinions of how the race went and so forth, and how everything has kind of shaken out for Wyoming. But more importantly, he actually talks about Republic Review and this concept. And so we get into a decent conversation, and it is an eye-opener as people start realizing this Madisonian paradigm. It's a Jeffersonian, because it comes out of Jefferson's book, The Notes on the State of Virginia. With that, I will let that play for itself. It's about 2 minutes out, and so let me do a quick grovel. There's nothing like groveling on a Monday. If you have a computer, if you've got a phone, you can actually help and contribute and support the cause. One of the things you can do is that you can send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. You can join the Constitution Club no matter where you are. If you're in Southern California, you can even join the Constitution Association, or you can join the We the People Foundation, regardless of where you are. That is a ground-based, I think, grassroots organization. So there are lots of different organizations that are getting on board with this. Some of them a little bit slower because they're still dealing with IRS audits and so forth. But with that, I would recommend that you do get involved if you want to be a part of the only relevant, I'll call it a movement. Again, this is a purging of unconstitutional government. So again, it is info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I do have a bit to say about what's going on regarding the Kavanaugh and literally what had happened with the flake. If you didn't see my post on Facebook from the Mobius Strip Press page, I will give you kind of a condensed version of that. Yeah, that's what I will do. But that'll be after we have this quick interview. And in addition to that, I will hopefully get into a couple of quick quotes out of the Massachusetts ratification debates. I did check the news. There is no sign of the federal government disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. Therefore, if we are going to get them to comply, it is up to us. We have to act, period. There's no way an organization that has usurped this kind of power, like the federal government, there is no way they are going to willingly give up all of these unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. So therefore, you really need to step up, and now is the time to do it, if you didn't know that. And so here we are. We're at the break. And so when we come back after word from our sponsors, we will be talking to Bill Dahlin. And then after those two segments, I will be back to wrap it up with a nice long monologue and hopefully some ratification debates. So again, please stay tuned, and I'll be right back. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so we're back with Bill Dahlin. And actually, I just to reintroduce everybody to you, Bill was one of the six candidates for the Republican ticket in Wyoming for governor. And so, Bill, I know you... you really put forth, you put a lot of personal time into the race. But what I wanted to do, and I really appreciate your time, is I wanted to get your feedback on the Republican race in Wyoming and the outcome, your feelings on the outcome. And so as you went through the process, this was your first time, correct?
Correct.
And so as you went through the process, did you find that it was that you felt like you were really competing for either the moral high ground or the, you know, because you were one of the three constitutional candidates. It was you, Harriet Hegeman, and Taylor Haynes that really focused and spoke about the Constitution. And so was it, did it seem like the moral high ground for you with between you three?
You know, I didn't really feel like a moral high ground. I really grew to know the other candidates as the time went on. I think initially everybody kind of has their hackles up. They're on the defense. They're looking for chinks in the other candidate's armor and tried to differentiate themselves on their platform. And yes, the platform, my platform was, I didn't want to buy the job to spend more money, which I could have spent a lot more money. But I just, I think constitutionally and fiscally, that just seemed to be the wrong thing to do, to try to buy that job and then talk about fiscal responsibility and try to have a leaner, more efficient government. And so if you go into it, you're trying to buy the job. That just seemed to be cross purposes of what I feel like I am.
Right, right.
And, you know, at Foster, Foster took exception at one debate. I think, GR, we had maybe, I don't know, somewhere in the neighborhood with just Republicans and then all inclusive of all the candidates, and that means the U.S. Senate, Congress, Democrats, all thrown in together in some cases. We must have had an unprecedented, you know, maybe 50, upwards of 50 debate-type forums across the state. And then I know there was money, you know, total money spent had to be unprecedented in Wyoming history. And I know the, just on the Republican side for the midterm primary voter turnout, I believe was unprecedented as well. So it was very interesting. Everybody had good ideas on their platform. You know, you start with Foster. Foster had openthebooks.com. He was really strong on transparency. And I think that's a very good thing. We don't have that in Wyoming. I think we rate 49th or 50th on transparency in our state government. You know, we had Mark Gordon, who prevailed, only capturing out of 116,000 votes, 37,000. So he's going to need our support. And if we talk about Mark, Mark ran on being a conservative candidate. And his history dictates that may not be a perfect matchup. But I do think Mark is going to try his best to change that reputation if he prevails in the general election. So we got to give him the benefit of the doubt and try to steer him in the direction of in the Constitution and being conservative. And he's reached out and talked to me, at least, about, you know, having further discussions from an advisory type position. Possibly, you know, we haven't had any details, but
right,
going
right.
forward. So, you know, we can really salvage things and have our support and our ideas behind him.
Right.
Harriet, very strong, very good, good person. You know, she's reached out. You know, matter of fact, I've talked to all the other candidates after the primary, and they've all reached out and been very open and very, very kind.
Well, let me ask you a different question then, since we kind of already got to the point that Mark had won, and you already know that there were there was a lot of discussion regarding crossover votes, and Wyoming has it's one of quite a few states that actually allow party affiliation to be changed right before the primary. And one of the things that I noticed was the undervotes. There were almost 18,000 undervotes in the Republican category statewide. And I'm not sure if, you know, that was ever brought up, but I've brought that up because that's huge. Why is it? And when I say undervotes, that's undervotes in regards to the state legislators, but in the governor race, there were hardly any undervotes, if you understand what I'm saying. And so what that means is there was a lot of people that voted for governor, 18,000 more people voted for governor than they did for their own state legislator. And so that kind of lends to that concept of possibly a lot of people crossing over, and their only intention was to help Mark Gordon get across. That being said, though, and I've talked to Frank Ethorn, and I've talked to quite a few people, and I understand that there's a huge effort to get behind him. But are you aware that there are efforts of people in Montana and other places that are trying to help Rex?
Rex Rammel you're talking about.
Yes, Rex Rammel, yeah.
Rex is quite a character. I like Rex. And he really hangs his hat on the Constitution.
Yep.
Rex, I do believe, if he's got that type of underpinning, he may draw votes, but he may not be the best candidate for the job. I think he's got some controversial aspects that will be hard to climb.
Right.
But, as far as the crossover votes that you're talking about, when you can hear in Wyoming at this present time, you can walk in a Democrat and at the voting booth and say, hey, I want to change my affiliation to Republican, and then vote for whoever you want
right.
in the primary, and then you can walk out a Democrat and just cross back over and be right. a Democrat. I get that. I don't know how many people actually did that. I don't know how effective that was. As far as there's a lot of discussion when there's people, the I would say the informed voters on either party or all parties, there's a lot of informed voters, and they try to play the voting game where they, like in Taylor, in my example, I know for a fact that we lost votes to Harriet because when the polls came out, they said, we need to vote for Harriet so we have the most conservative candidate out of the three, Harriet, Taylor, and myself, that has the best opportunity of prevailing. And so, no, don't vote for Bill or don't vote for Taylor, vote for Harriet. That type of stuff went on. It's very, very true. That's one thing that went on. Another thing went on, there were robocalls that went out saying, vote for, if you're Democrat or independent, change your affiliation to Republican and vote for Mort Gordon because he's the most liberal. And that stuff took place. There's no question about it. How big and wide it was, I don't know. And then when you get back to Rex, your question about him, about people trying to get behind him, he may gather quite a few conservative votes. I'm not sure what he's going to get out of the deal. I do think Mark Gordon will try to do his best to live up to his platform that he ran on, because he wants, I think, desperately to shed his reputation, and so I think that's what he wants to do, and I think he'll try to do it, and if he doesn't do it, then he's going to be challenged
when
it comes to the next election.
Sure, and I agree with you. I do believe especially after talking to Frank, that there's been an honest and open conversation about that, and that there's been some other people that have kind of stepped forward to basically, help buoy up Mark's credentials. But I've only got like 30 seconds left, and so if I could get you to hold on so we can do one more segment. I know I sent you some content and information regarding, what I am doing. And I know we really haven't talked because you've been so busy on the campaign trail. But when we come back from break, what I'd like to do is kind of start and give you the picture of why my focus has been on Wyoming. And, there are some other red states that I've been kind of zoned in on, but very specifically what I'm kind of trying to do. And I'd like to get your take on that. So if you could stay tuned, we will be right back, okay? All right, thank you so much. Hey, folks, as you can tell, we're at a hard break right now. So I will be right back after a couple of comments and words from our sponsors. So please stay tuned. And again, I'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. Okay, and so folks, we're back with Bill Dahlin, and Bill, I know I sent you some my presentation and some content and so forth. Did you get a chance to kind of look through that and absorb what my approach and what I'm trying to do in saving the Constitution?
I did. I did look at it, and I thought it was fantastic.
And so just to give you the backstory on why my focus is on Wyoming, one, because I still believe that in Wyoming, the DNA, or I should say the Constitution, is still a part of the DNA of Wyomingians. It is the most red state. I mean, you have such a predominant majority in your state legislators, and the state legislators are the key. And so I kind of popped in a little bit late. I wish I would have had time in advance, like last year through the 2017 session, or maybe even the 2018 session, and started pinging those state legislators. But as I started this process, and when I before I even reached out to you, I had been kind of redirected by a lot of people. You probably know Jenny McCarthy and some other conservative leaders within Wyoming, and they said, you need to get us a strong governor to champion. So the question that I have is, do you believe Mark will look at this concept and go, you know what, here is a, because this is a whole new approach, and I know this is a paradigm shift for a lot of people, because they've never viewed the Constitution, because they've never been taught the Constitution in the context of the framers.
Isn't that a shame?
Yeah, it is. It is, but that's okay. but I guess the question is, because almost everybody that has a fundamental understanding of the Constitution, that believes in individual liberty and those principles that created our form of government, when they see that, they go, this is, wow, how come nobody ever thought of this? And that kind of stuff. I always get those types of replies. But I think the point is when people start recognizing that there is actually an opportunity and a way back, the question is, do people have that mettle? And so my question for you is, do you believe Mark has that mettle?
I think he does. I just think he needs, subtle reminders that that's where I think you said it best, that the Constitution is a contract with people. And, you know, I think that's the best way to put it. And if we focus on that very simple aspect of our Constitution, is that we'll get back where we need to go. And I think Mark will definitely move that way. I think he can. I think he will. And I think if he has people that support him in the Republican Party that are aware of that contract and supportive of that contract, and he surrounds himself with those people, and possibly such as myself, we haven't worked out any details or anything like that. But, I think if he does that, and then we'll head in the right direction. And it's going to take an educational process, and it's going to take some time. But I think Mark has that metal to do that. And if he doesn't, and then it's the voter's choice to change that in the next election. And that's his challenge, going forward.
Well, I hope he recognizes that we really don't have the time to go through another election 4-year cycle. And I say that because within every year, our education, or I should say our indoctrination system, is pumping out 10 million more kids that are going to become a part of the electorate. In addition to the illegal aliens and how some of the states are co-opting, getting them the ability to vote and so forth, I just look at we have maybe 2 to 5 years before we are going to become overwhelmed by insanity of people wanting to throw away our liberties for a democracy so that they can get a little bit more bread on their table. I'm really, really concerned about where we are as a republic. But I do believe that if I can get Wyoming to stand up against Goliath, there will be a lot of other states that won't take much nudging, like the Dakotas, like Idaho, maybe Utah, Kansas, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Texas. There's a lot of states that do not like the position. And I think the one thing that in Wyoming, the only challenge that I honestly see is how people are, kind of scared of the sacred federal lands coming back to the states. But I honestly see that there's real easy fixes to that, such as, creating a real high bar legislation that if the state is going to dispose of or make any changes to the disposition of those lands that they're going to get back from the federal government, that they would set a supermajority requirement to sell or to make some type of changes in the use of those lands. And so, go ahead.
I agree with you 100%. On that, you make a very good point. Mark has made part of his platform, he states a strong support for the Second Amendment, and he also states in his platform, we got to hold his feet to the fire on this, he also states that deregulation, less regulation, some very popular things that go against the Goliath.
Good.
That need to be done, and I truly believe he's going to give his best shot to do that. So come 4 years from now, that'll be a no-brainer. He'll keep moving forward in the direction that you just talked about.
And so I
think that's very important, and I'm open-minded to that. And I think just exactly what you said, I mean, Wyoming does need to set the example, and he's in a very good position to do that. Wyoming is in a good position to do that, and I think it's very important that we do that, because you're right. There is a lot of uninformed new voters coming on board that really don't understand the Constitution, really don't understand the contract with the people, don't understand that we, the people, in a republic, have the power and not the federal government. People don't understand that.
Right. Well, the other question that you've already answered was where are you standing at this point in time, with about a month away from the election, in supporting, because like I said, I was aware of the potential coup that Rex is trying to pull off. And I just don't see that happening. I honestly see that there is, even though there was a real bitter taste in a lot of people's mouths regarding the outcome with Mark winning, I honestly think that a lot of that is being subsided. But more importantly, back to, you know, the fact that you are involved with and looking to, you know, help. If Mark is concerned about regulation, you have to understand that the majority of the things that is strangling Wyoming and all of the Western states and almost every state in the union are these unconstitutional federal regulations such as the EPA, energy, and these other things that are literally holding back your economy. And I pointed out to Taylor that in 2016, Wyoming paid about $5.5 billion in taxes to revenue to the federal government. And what Wyoming got back was only about $2.5 billion. So there's a $3 billion deficit that if you get rid of all of these regulations, you take your stand, Wyoming will actually be able to keep its money that the federal government shouldn't be spending.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think that needs a lot of attention.
Yeah.
And I do believe that we need to make some moves to our benefit, putting our people in our state where we have the authority to do it and move forward. And take, you know, we just had a deal. I don't know if you were aware of this. You know, they declassified from the Endangered Species Act. Here's an example for it in tune with what you're talking about. The grizzly bear, they declassified it from the endangered species because of their recovery. And we just recently had a federal judge, I think he was in Montana, but I don't hold me to that. He reversed that, put a hold on that, and then put the grizzly bear back into the Endangered Species Act.
Wow.
Well, that was really the Game and Fish of Wyoming did all those studies and did all the work, and they were the ones on the forefront to get the grizzly bear delisted. And so the Game and Fish was very, very upset with that decision. And so that's your federal overreach from just one example of a whole lot of examples that take place that impede our state, our states, and whatever position you want to take, they're not in a position to do that constitutionally. So I agree with you 100%.
Right.
There's example after example after example.
Sure. There are so many resources that the Western states have that are being kept from them because of all these federal regulations. Let me, because we're literally, I got 10 seconds left. Let me thank you for your time coming on. And you're more than welcome to come back on. And I probably get you to come back on, hopefully, after the general election. And be able to talk about, you know, the outcome and where we are going, or where Wyoming more specifically is going as a state, hopefully aligned. And maybe we can have some really good news that, you know, Mark Gordon has seen that presentation that I've sent you and this content and information and has had that epiphany that where he can go down to the state legislators and literally say, you have a very important job to do. You have a job that, so some of the things I haven't sent you is that in 1798, Madison and Jefferson actually stood up against the federal government. But that'll have to come down the road. So thank you for your time, and we will have you back on if that's okay with you.
You bet, GR.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thank you much. Folks, I will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So the big part of this whole interview with Bill Dahlin was to try to get his feedback. As I injected into the campaign with the different governor candidates, having spoken to four of them and giving them my content on Republic Review, I have basically had the opportunity to infect them with the truth. And as you start to see these people in leadership positions, especially Bill, and I'm actually going to be seeing him mid-November. We'll probably be getting together. I'll be going out to Sheridan where he is. Anyway, you will see that these leaders are actually going to look, and I'm banking on the fact that if they're real leaders, then they will do the right thing and not do things right. Doing things right means that we stick to the status quo, we follow the process, and we don't deviate. And I believe Bill is one of those guys that will become a champion for Republic Review, and there's no better type of champion than you have as a baron of industry or a captain of industry like the coal industry is Bill Dahlin. I know that Taylor Haynes is another one. So anyway, I appreciated his time. And one of the things, like I said, is I truly believe that once you get leaders starting to talk and you start changing their paradigms, you don't know what'll happen, but I'm actually hoping that the dam bursts and we actually get some real movement from some upper level leaders. And I think that'd be great. So something to think about. Let me get into what we've all been kind of watching. This, again, like I call it, the metaphor of the train wreck, all of these trains pulling into the station and what we're watching from these leftists in D.C. Think about how quick the leftist or communists or progressives, whatever you like to call them, likes to call a person a misogynist. Just think about that for a little while I kind of go on with this concept, as I have talked about, that we are now living under the rule of rumor or the rule of law. So the question is, what is it going to be, America? Is it going to be the rule of rumor? Or are we going to go back and live within the confines of the rule of law? And so if you look at, and I know that many of you have probably seen this, there was an incident with Senator Flake in an elevator that had conveniently been set up with some activists as well as some videotaping and so forth. And what I have to really go off about is literally Flake's failure here. instead of just standing there and allowing these militant activists to browbeat him as if they have the moral high ground on Flake, Flake failed to uphold his oath, period. I mean, he is a senator who has actually taken an oath. America, we have to make a choice. Do you want to surrender your liberty and sovereignty, or are you going to take a stand and tell these communists that we are not going to allow them to commandeer our republic and our constitution with their sniveling subjective judgments and opinions? If we do not start taking a stand, we will be overran by emotional insanity of the political correctness police. Now, if you haven't seen this pathetic video of Senator Flake basically cowering, then I think you really need to, because again, I want to point out that here is a man who raised his arm to the square and took an oath and stated that he will, quote, will support and defend the Constitution. But instead, like I said, he cowered at the moment when he should have lived up to his oath. This really inflames me. What this senator should have done was to tell this woman in a loud and very firm voice, with whatever strength that he could muster, to basically tell her to calm down and or settle down. And then he should have dressed her down for trying to use her emotions to convict an innocent man who has not had any evidence in a court of law with due process in front of a jury of his peers presented against him so that he could have the opportunity to defend himself, period. Nor has he been convicted in those circumstances. We are all afforded these civil rights as U.S. citizens. How dare this woman and these women and these communists convict this man? They are convicting him not for any sin that he has been proven to have committed, but he is being convicted for what he represents. And they know that. And as I've been telling people, this man is truly a threat because they are pulling out every trick in the book. These women and men are misandrists. And our society has been taken over by misandrists who are trying to destroy our culture and the foundation of our principles, which is natural law. Now, I will get into these words a little bit in just a second here. My, how the left, though, how these communists have mastered the obfuscation of the truth and has successfully replaced it with rumors and lies. If all patriots do not take a stand and rebuke this emotional lynching, then we will continue to get closer to anarchy and mob rule on our way to the bottom of the fall of the greatest republic ever created. You have to start getting involved. And most people say you got to call your senators. I am telling you, you need to call your state legislators. They may not be in session now, but they will be in session in January. I'm going to have Keith Broders on a little bit later on, probably tomorrow. Hopefully we'll have that aired tomorrow, where we're going to talk about some of the things that he's going to be working on in helping you communicate to your state legislators so that we can start literally working at rescinding the 17th Amendment, so that we can literally start forcing some of these constitutional principles to be restored again. But let me get back to these words. Everybody has probably heard the word misogynist. Basically, by definition, this is a person who dislikes, despises, or is strongly prejudiced against women. But how many people have ever heard the term misandrist? This is the exact opposite, my friends. This is a person who dislikes, despises, or is strongly prejudiced against men. And what we've been witnessing over the past several decades in the school system and everything else, because they've all been attacking the macho. What's wrong with macho? It is a part of our society. It is a natural biological thing that exists. Men exist. Women exist. And instead, they are trying to feminize society and get rid of the natural. And I don't mean natural man in the biblical sense. I'm talking about in the biological sense that a man even exists with his testosterone and those hormones, those chromosomes, and those types of things. What we are facing are literally misandrists that are out to try to feminize society. And it will not bode well. It never does. So let me get back to what I'm hoping to do. And I want to give you this insight because I'd like to actually get into these these Massachusetts ratification debates quotes for you. We will be interviewing the Constitution Club founder, Keith Broders. And what we want to do is we want to talk about the club's strategy to rescind the 17th Amendment. And so he's going to... We've talked again before, and I've made some suggestions, and as I have said before, I want to talk to him about this concept as well. That'll probably be a different interview segment, but going into this concept of credentials, certifications, and what have you for elected officials, I think this is critical. This is a direction that we have to go. And as a matter of fact, after what the Democrats have played in the Senate the past few weeks, it is time to use their tactics against them by making them get investigated. There is no more powerful seat than the seat that says yes or no whether somebody can sit somewhere. And so I don't believe that they should be above the scrutiny that they want to put on jurists and other people. Do you think that? Then we need to start demanding that we start calling for the investigations of every single senator that's out there. Who knows? They may have forced themselves on some date that they were out on, and they forced a kiss or what have you. And I think the American people ought to know about that. As a matter of fact, I will tell you that we're going to find with, as we already know, with Ellison and some of these others, Corey, these folks are corrupt. And I'm going to tell you, you are going to get an eye-opener if we can get these investigations where we actually go through and talk to people, talk to their neighbors, and talk to, just like what I had to do when I was going through for my clearances for my SCI, where they did a single scope background investigation. And that is when they go talk to your high school buddies, they talk to your friends, your neighbors, and anybody and everybody. They scour the newspapers. They do a detailed analysis on your life. So, yeah, that's pretty important. Now, let me get into this Massachusetts ratification debate. What I wanted to do was, I actually kind of gave you a tickle on on Samuel Adams. This is basically the written script that John Hancock, when he spoke during the Massachusetts ratification debates, he did not speak hardly at all. So this is kind of how the scribe or the secretary kind of took note of it. And it goes, but before I do, let me ask you this question, because I've almost forgot. The words that I'm about to read, are these the words of lies and deceit that we got from these framers? Or are the words that we've received from the mainstream media, from the bureaucracy, from the education system and so forth, are those the words of deceit? I'll let you be the judge. This is, again, a comment from John Hancock via the scribe. When the convention met in the afternoon, His Excellency, the President, which is John Hancock, observed that a motion had been made and seconded that this convention do assent to and ratify the Constitution which had been under consideration, and that he had, in the former part of the day, intimated his intention of submitting a proposition to the convention. And he basically says this: my motive says he, arises from my earnest desire to this convention, my fellow citizens, and the public at large, that this convention may adopt such a form of government as may extend its good influences to every part of the United States and advance the prosperity of the whole world. You get this? They were recognizing at this point in time that this Constitution could literally advance the prosperity of the whole world. The only reason that it would not be able to do that would be that we would have to restrain and constrain the Constitution to not allow it to go to every nation. I move on. And so his situation, His Excellency said, has not permitted him to enter into the debates of this convention. It, however, appeared to him necessary from what had been advanced in them to adopt the form of government proposed. But observing a diversity of sentiment in the gentlemen of the convention, he had frequently had conversations with them on the subject, and from this conversation he was induced to propose them whether the introduction of some general amendments would be attended with the happiest consequences. For that purpose, he should, with the leave of the Honorable Convention, submit to their consideration a proposition in order to remove the doubts and quiet the apprehensions of the gentlemen. And if, in any degree, the object should be acquired, he should feel himself perfectly satisfied. He should therefore submit them, for he was, he said, unable to go more largely into the subject if his abilities would permit him, relying on the candor of the convention to bear him witness that his wishes would be for a constitution were sincere. His Excellency then read his proposition. This gentleman concluded, His Excellency, is the proposition which he had made, and I submit to your consideration the sincerest wish that it may have the tendencies to promote. So they don't read what his submissions were, but John Adams summarizes that. Your Excellency's first proposition, First Amendment, that it be explicitly, and he's quoting him right here, his actual quotes, that it explicitly declared that all powers not expressly delegated to Congress are reserved to the several states to be by them exercised. That right there, my friends, is the 10th Amendment. The first words of that were actually, you know, there were many men that have said this, but this was the first time it was actually sent back to the Continental Congress, so that if the federal government would be formed from the ratification of the Constitution, that what would end up happening is that they would have some recommendations for amendments. Come to find out, every single state followed Massachusetts' example, and they literally all requested this exact same amendment, that it be explicitly declared that all powers not expressly delegated to Congress are reserved to the several states. So if there is no power delegating to Congress the power for education, energy, transportation, justice, health and human services, housing and urban development, and all of these other powers which the federal government is exercising, then those powers are explicitly reserved to the states. I am G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help. We'll be back tomorrow with some more good conversations and some more ratification debates. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.